In Ephesians chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul is teaching the believers at Ephesus about how to walk with God. As a matter of fact, he starts this chapter off in verse number 1 by telling them to be followers of God as dear children. Just like children followed their parents, even so, that they need to follow after the Lord. They need to walk after the Lord. And he teaches us in this chapter something about what it means to be able to follow him, be able to walk with God. And he tells us in verse number 2 that if you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk in love. And just like the Lord loved us, and even so, that we're to walk in that same kind of love. And he also tells us in this same chapter that we also need to walk in the light. And that is in verse number 8, that we were in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. And so you ought to walk as children of light and not like children of darkness. And when you get to verse number 15, you'll find that he tells us that we need to walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means that we need to walk upright. That is a life that is straight, a life that is a lifestyle that is right. Walk circumspectly, the Bible says, not like a fool, but as wise. In other words, walking in wisdom. The upright walk are those who walk in wisdom and not like fools. They redeem the time. That is, they take good advantage and use their time in a godly and a right way because the days are evil. So be wise. Walk in wisdom. Hey, don't be unwise. According to verse number 17, be ye not unwise, but be wise. And how are you going to be wise? By understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you're going to walk circumspectly, upright, if you're going to walk in wisdom, then you've got to understand what the will of the Lord is. That is what it is that God wants. That is, the will of God is what God wants. Some of you might ask that question once in a while: what does God want for me? Or what does God want from me? Well, whatever it is that God wants for us and whatever it is that God wants from us, that is His will. That's what He's purposed and planned, and that is what He wants. And if we're going to be wise, then we better learn something about the will of God. Now, some, as I mentioned in the services on Sunday, there are some who believe the will of God is something that is hiding out there somewhere that God's hid that you and I can hardly find. But the Bible seems to indicate to us here that it's possible for us to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that seems to indicate to us that God really wants us to understand what His will is so that we can walk in wisdom. That is, wisdom is spiritual insight. That is, it's knowing the mind of God, the heart of God, the direction of God. And that's wisdom. Wisdom is more than just knowing how to do your job well, but it's knowing the mind of God, the heart of God, the direction of God in your life so that you can do the will of God. And that's what wisdom is about. It's the wise man, the wise woman who knows who God is and knows something about the purpose of God and the ways of God so that you can walk circumspectly or so you can walk upright. And so you got to know the will of God. You'll never walk right if you don't know the will of God. And you and I need to understand what the will of God is. And the Bible seems to be indicating to us here that it is possible for us to understand something about the will of God. I've said to you in the services already, previous to this service, is if you want to know what the will of God is, you need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is here. He's present and He's speaking and operating, and He's the one who guides us according to the direction of God and guides us into the will of God. You got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And by the way, you got to pay attention or be aware to the direction of God. God's operating in your circumstances to open doors and to shut doors, and you just need to pay attention to what God is doing around you. And you might begin to see how God is operating and what God is doing and what His will may be. So being sensitive to the Spirit of God and being aware of the direction of God, but you also have to be a student of the Word of God. And that is that God has revealed His will to us in this book, the Bible, so that you and I can understand what the will of the Lord is. Say, Pastor, I don't understand what the will of God is. And get into this book and let God speak to you. Read this Bible and find out what it says. Study it and find out what it means. Listen to those who are gifted to teach it so you can understand it more clearly. So you can know what the will of God is. Now, you and I begin looking at the Bible a little bit, just try to answer that and deal with that issue of understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we discovered in the service Sunday morning that the will of the Lord is for us to be saved. That is, according to 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It reveals to us there in the context of the second coming what the will of the Lord is. The reason why the Lord hasn't come back yet, ladies and gentlemen, it's not because that he's not going to keep his promise. The day of the Lord will come one of these days, and it'll come like a thief in the night. But I tell you that God's been long-suffering to us because he doesn't want anybody to perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that God wants all men to be saved. And so we know the will of God is the will of God. If you're not saved, the will of God is for you to be saved. And if you are saved, the reason why you are saved is because God willed for you to be saved. That God did that. It was his will. You say, Pastor, I'm the one who made that decision. No, listen to me now. God made that decision long before you ever were. He sent his son to die for you on the cross 2,000 years ago so that you could be saved. God did that for you before you ever knew who you were, before your mama ever knew who you were. Hey, before your ancestors ever knew you was coming, God already paid the price for you. What I'm trying to get you to see, that the will of God is for you to be saved. Now, some of you, and maybe all of you, are saved in this room. But I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the will of God doesn't stop with salvation. While the will of God is for you to be saved, the will of God continues after conversion. What does God want for me after I'm saved? And here's what we've been discovering, and that is the will of God is also for us to be surrendered. He not only wants us to be saved, but he wants us to be surrendered. Now listen, when God saved you, you surrendered to him. That is, you got to the end of yourself and you turned to Christ and you surrender to him and what he did for you on the cross. But I want you to know that after you get saved, the will of God is for you to continue to live a surrendered life. A life that is surrendered to him. That is surrendered to whatever God wants. Surrendered to whatever the will of God is for my life. A life that is surrendered to him. Now, Romans chapter number 12 is where we discover that truth. Look over in your Bible now to Romans chapter number 12. We began looking at verse number 1 this past Sunday night, but we need to continue looking at this. And that is the idea of surrender. And so that we can know, so that we can prove by experience what the will of God is. Notice verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul is urging and begging them, ladies and gentlemen, on the basis of the mercy of God that he's been writing about in the first 11 chapters. God's mercy and salvation to us. Based on that, he says, on that basis, you ought to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just, it's your reasonable service. It's the right way to respond to the mercy of God in salvation is by presenting yourself to him as a living sacrifice, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that or so that you may prove, the idea of proving is to know by experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How am I going to know the will of God? How am I going to understand what the will of the Lord is? How am I going to know in my personal experience in life, how am I going to know God's will? That is God's good and the idea of acceptable, it's well-pleasing. How am I going to know the good will of God? That is the will of God that is so pleasurable to him. That is the will of God that is absolutely perfect. How am I going to know the will of God in my life? Well, the Bible is telling us here how you and I can experience the will of God being done in our lives. And the key word for us is the word surrender. It is the word, in verse number 1, we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the areas of our life that we need to get surrendered to God and keep on surrendering to God is our bodies. We discovered that Sunday night. And that is, we discovered that God wants us to do a presentation. In other words, God wants us to give him something. To present something to him. To turn it over to him. Just like in the Old Testament worshipers would present a sacrifice. They would bring it to the priest down there at the temple or the tabernacle. And they would bring their sacrifice and they would give it to the priest. And the priest would examine it to make sure that it was fit to be sacrificed. And if it was pleasing, if it was acceptable, and it was holy, set apart, then it could be offered up as a sacrifice to God. And when they brought that to the priest, they turned it over to them. They took their hands off of it. It belonged to God. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us here that New Testament believers also need to be presenting some sacrifices to the Lord that are holy and acceptable, well-pleasing to Him. And one of the sacrifices is our body. That is, we're to present our bodies to Him. That is, we're to take our bodies, this physical being, this physical body that we live in, and everything that pertains to it. And listen to me, when I'm talking about everything that pertains to our body, every material aspect of our life is connected to our body. And that is the reason why we need money, is so we can buy food for our bodies. So that we can buy electricity to keep our bodies comfortable. So we can have a house to live in because our bodies need shelter. So that we can get in a car and drive somewhere. And the reason why is because your body needs something to transport it. Just about everything material that we have is connected to our physical body. And listen, when the Bible says here that we're offered our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, it means this: you and I are to present ourselves and everything material about our life, and we're to lay it before Him and say, God, here I am. Here's my body. That is, this physical body, the parts of my body, and everything that's connected to my body, and I lay it on the altar, and God, I surrender it to You. I surrender my body to You, and I surrender all the material aspects of my being, and I give it all to You. I'm laying it on the altar. God, here it is. Now listen, that's God's will for you. If you want to find out the will of God for your life, then you got to get surrendered. You say, Pastor, I wish God would reveal His will to me so I can decide whether or not I want to surrender. Listen to me now, God doesn't operate like that. Take my word for it. I shared my testimony with you Sunday night for those who are here. I want to say to you that, listen, before God will ever reveal His will to you, He's going to bring you to a point that you get to choose whether you're going to surrender or not. And if you don't surrender, you may never know the will of God for your life. But if you'll get your body, surrender to Him and say, God, here it all is. Then God will begin to guide you and lead you according to His divine will. His will is for you to be surrendered. Now that means you got to surrender your body to the Lord. I'm going to preach that again, but I won't. I'll move on. Because there's another area of our life that we got to get surrendered to God, ladies and gentlemen. Not only our body and everything material that belongs to the body, but we also need to get our mind surrendered to the Lord as well. The mind is the inner man, the body is the outer man, and everything material that pertains to the body. But the mind refers to the inner man and everything that is spiritual and emotional in nature that pertains to the mind. The Bible tells us in verse number 2 not to be conformed to the world. The idea of conformed is the idea of being pressured or molded by the world. Don't allow the world to mold your life. We'll say it again. Then this is a command. Don't allow yourself to become conformed to the world. Don't allow the world to exert pressure on you to make you or intimidate you into living like the world. Don't allow it to happen. Refuse that. But instead, on the other hand, the opposite of that is to be transformed. The idea of being transformed, ladies and gentlemen, is the idea of being changed from the inside out. The idea of being conformed is the idea of being pressured into a mold or a lifestyle from the outside. Now, that's how the world operates. The world operates on the child of God from the outside because something changed on the inside when God saved you. He came to live on the inside of you and He made you a brand new creature when He saved you. But the world is putting pressure on you to act like them and to have the same values of the world and to live like the world and to be like the world. Your friends want you to run here and run there and your ungodly friends I'm talking about. And the world around you is trying to put you into this mold from the outside, trying to pressure you into living a certain way that is not according to the will of God. And then there's somebody else living on the inside of you. The world's pressuring you from the outside, trying to conform you. But now that you're saved, there's somebody living on the inside of you that wants to change you, transform you from the inside out. That word transform is interesting. It comes in, and our word metamorphosis comes from this word. That is, it's the idea of being changed from the inside so that it becomes visibly, you become visibly changed on the outside, like a little caterpillar in a cocoon that becomes a butterfly. There's a change on the inside that one day, inside that little cocoon, that one day burst out on the outside, and that little caterpillar is now a beautiful butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that's a word that's being used here, and that is there's something going on the inside that God wants to shine through your life on the outside. You say, Pastor, what happened? What is it that's going on the inside? Oh, somebody came to live on the inside of you one day. Oh, you know who he is, don't you? And that is God the Holy Spirit, the one who revealed to you your lostness, the one who brought you to the cross where all you could do was surrender to Christ and what he did for you. And all of a sudden you found the battle was over and there was peace and joy and settledness on the inside. Somebody came to live in you. That is God Almighty, eternal God, in the person of God the Holy Spirit is now living on the inside of you. You became a brand new creature alive in Christ. At the moment of your conversion, he moved into your life. He lives, hey, did you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That he lives on the inside of you? And you're not your own anymore, but you belong to him? Absolutely. And he's living on the inside of you. And the one who's living on the inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, wants to do a divine takeover in every area of your life. So that what's on the inside of you starts shining through your life. That is, it starts coming out of your mouth in what you say. It starts coming out of your eyes and what you look at. That is, it starts coming out of your hands and what you do. It starts exerting itself out of your feet because in the direction that you walk. I mean, listen to me now. It starts oozing out of your ears in what you listen to. And it starts getting a hold of your mind in what you're thinking. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you wants to take over every area of your life. And as he takes over every area of our life, that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the Bible commands us not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The idea of being filled with the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is the idea of the Holy Spirit dominating all the areas of our life. And that's what he wants to do. And that's what he wants to do in your life. This word that is that we find here in verse number 2 about being transformed is the same word, ladies and gentlemen, that is also that we also read about in the Gospels when Jesus was transfigured. Remember when Jesus went up on that mountain with Peter, James, and John? And the Bible says that they took a little nap, that is, the three of them did, And when they woke up from their nap, Jesus was transfigured before them. And the Bible says that he began, his clothing and his face was shining white as light. That is, the deity on the inside, that is the person, the deity of his person on the inside that had been hidden under his humanity, ladies and gentlemen, was shining through for Peter and James and John to see. You say, Pastor, I sure would like to have seen that. Well, you can see it by faith in the Bible. And one of these days, you're going to see it with your eyes. Whenever you get to heaven or when he comes again, you're going to see him as he is. But I want you to know that he was transfigured. And that is what was on the inside began to radiate through his being so that it looked like that he was glowing as white as light. That's the word that is used here when the Bible says, be ye transformed. It's the same word being used here. And it's the same concept. And that is that what God put on the light, listen, the light that God put on the inside of you, he wants to start shining through you. That is, the light of the world came to live on the inside of you when God saved you. And listen, that divine light wants to take over every area of your life. So the light is demonstrated in every area of your life. So that you begin to shine with the glory of God. Now you may not shine like Jesus did because I know that you're not Jesus. But I'm going to say to you, but in the same way that our Lord was transfigured, that is, as he was transfigured, ladies and gentlemen, changed from the earthly to the heavenly. Even so, God wants to transform your life. So instead of looking so earthly, you start looking a little bit heavenly. That's what he's wanting to do. That is, so he's wanting to transform you from the earthly to the heavenly, from the inside out. Now, some of you asking right now, how can we do that? How can we be transformed? Well, the Bible tells us here in verse number 2, it is by the renewing of the mind. That is, the means by which you and I are transformed from the inside out is by the renewing of our mind. Now, remember, we've already talked about the fact that we need to lay our bodies before the Lord, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And now we're finding out that it's not only our outer man, our body, that the Lord wants us to surrender to Him, but now we're finding out that He wants to completely transform or change or renew our minds. That is, He wants us to surrender our minds to Him, our inner man, as well. The renewing of the mind. You all know this already, but the battleground for a child of God, if you've already been born again and He's living on the inside of you, there's a battle for your mind. In other words, the battleground is about what you believe. It's about the thought patterns of your mind. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to deal with my emotions. You got to deal with your mind. And that is, your emotional makeup is connected to your mind. The reason why you feel what you feel is because you think what you think. And it's because you believe what you believe. You get your mind straightened out and your emotions will be fine. Say it again. Get your mind straightened out, your emotions will be... Now, here's what I mean by that. Let me give you an example. I use this example all the time. Some of you have heard it already. But if I'm sitting at my house and all of a sudden there's a noise and it sounds like that somebody's trying to get at the back door, all of a sudden, my heart starts to race just a little bit. My blood pressure rises just a little bit. My eyes become open if they were closed. And all of a sudden, my ears begin to perk up. And I become alert. And I'm wondering what's going on. Is somebody trying to break in our house? I mean, what is happening? You've had that experience. And your body reacts. Your body reacts because of what your mind thinks. And so I get up and I go wake my wife up and say, you need to check this out. Now I'm storing a little bit, aren't I? But you go to the back door, you look at the doors and you know, and you look and try to figure out what's going on and you find out it's nothing. The wind's blowing a little bit, making a little noise. Something blew around back in the on the deck or the backyard. You find out it was nothing. But you believed it was something. And your whole emotions responded to it. There's a connection between what we, our mind and our emotions. So we got to deal with this mind. That is, we got to get a surrender to God. The inner man and the mind needs to be surrendered to God because it has so much control over our lives. If you and I are going to be transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, then we need to experience what the Bible calls the renewing of the mind. That word renew means to make new again. It's the idea of the mind being made new over again, continuously being renewed or made new. Now, let me just remind you that when God saved you, you became a brand new creature in Christ. I mean, God gave you a new life. God gave you a new home. He gave you a new direction. And you became a new person in Christ. But I want you to know that when God saved you and came to live on the inside of you and made you a brand new creature in Christ, I want you to know that after you got saved, God continuously is making you new. Now listen, when God saved you, some things were transformed immediately. Some things were transformed immediately when God saved you. But ladies and gentlemen, not everything was transformed immediately when God saved you. You say, well, Pastor, I believe God transformed everything, but you got that same old body and it keeps getting older. Not everything was... Now, you'll have a new body someday when the Lord comes, and that thing's going to be changed and you're going to be as He is. But you don't have that already, so don't tell me everything was changed when God saved you, because I know better. I can see you. I'm looking at you. If that's a glorified body, we're all in trouble. No, not everything was... Hey, not only was your body not immediately changed, but I'm going to say to you that there's some areas of your character that still need to be changed and transformed as well. Now, and I know that's true because I know some of you. And I know me. And there's still things that need to be made new. Not everything is what it ought to be. And so you know what God's doing in my life since my conversion and since yours? He's continually making us new. And it begins with our mind and what we believe and in the thought patterns that we hold, because that has so much effect on our life. God wants to make your mind new. He wants to renew your mind. That's what Now listen, I'm talking to you about the will of God. God's will is for you to recognize that this is what God wants for me. This is what God wills for me. What God wills for me is to transform, that is, to transform my life, and He does it through the renewing of the mind, making things, making those things new. When I was a little baby, my parents were, when they first got married, they moved into a little trailer, a little mobile home. And they lived there for a year or two, I think, something like that. And I think that I was probably just a little baby. So they'd been married a couple of years, I guess. And my dad bought a house right across the street from where they had this little trailer, this little mobile home parked. And it was an old house. And it was built, the estimate is that it was built in around 1900. An old house. Some say it used to be an old depot. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's an old house and just a four-room house and had old plaster walls and had to build a bathroom onto it so they'd have a bathroom. When my dad bought the house, he immediately did enough work on the house so that they could move into it. He bought it for $1,500. And so they moved in, they had to do some work on it so they could move into it. And I mean, got to get some plumbing and that kind of thing. So he made it where they could live in it. And so he moved my mom and my little sister, and I think I was just a little baby, and we moved into that house. And I lived in that house all the time that I was growing up. My mom and dad lived in that house the rest of their marriage, and until they both were with the Lord, they both died in that same house. But all the time I was growing up, my dad was always doing something to the house. You know what I mean? When you get an old house, you always got to do something. I can remember my dad getting some plaster, and old plaster was falling off the ceiling upstairs in the bedroom where I slept in the attic room. And so my dad, he'd get up there and he'd get the rest of that loose plaster down, and he'd get some plaster and plaster those laths over those laths once again, just to try to keep that place up. And every once in a while, him and mom would decide to remodel a room. And when I say remodel a room, he'd go get some paneling and nail it up to the walls and get a drop ceiling and put a drop ceiling in. And every once in a while, they'd paint a room. That is, it's just always something that had to be fixed on that old house. And they would just do it a little at a time, as they had a little bit of money. It wasn't that my mom and dad wouldn't go out and borrow money to do something like that. Hey, they come from a time whenever if you didn't have the money on hand, you didn't do it. You live with what you had until you had enough money to do it. When you got a little bit of money saved up, then they would work on that old house. Well, I want you to know that when God saved you, He moved into an old house. You. Now, some of you may have been young when you got saved, but as far as spirituality was concerned, you were old. And He moved into you. He came to live on the inside of your heart when He saved you. And there are some things that were changed immediately when He saved you. But listen, there are some things that He just keeps working on since you've been saved. Well, that's what this word renewing means. It means that there are some things that God just keeps working on, and our mind is one of them. He's trying to renew our mind, transforming our life through the renewing of the mind. And listen, the mind is renewed. The Bible teaches us our mind is renewed as we grow in knowledge. As we expand our knowledge of who God is and what God has done and what His purposes are and what His plans are. That's why at the end of the book of Peter's writing, he tells us to grow in knowledge. The reason why we need to grow in knowledge is because that's how believers grow, by learning. By growing in, our minds are transformed and renewed by learning. Listen, you can't go into your mind and plaster the walls. You can't go into your mind and paint the trim. No, listen to me now. Your mind is able to be renewed by learning. By learning God's precious word. And learning how to walk with God. And learning what it is that God expects from our life. And as you learn, you're able to apply that to your life. And as you apply what you learn to your life, you're transformed by it. Your lifestyle begins to change. This renewing is also written about by Paul in Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at what it says there. In Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 20, the Bible says, "But you have not so learned Christ, those of you that have been saved, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off." Now here's what we've learned. And that is that you put off concerning the former conversation, that is the manner of life before you got saved, which is what he'd been writing about. The old man, he calls him. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old you, you got to put it off like an old dirty garment. Remember when you came home a little bit earlier today? Some of you did. You came home after working at your job and your clothes were dirty and they were smelly and they were stinky and you took them off and you cleaned up and you put on some clean clothes. Well, the Bible says here that there's some things from your old life. You got to put it off. You got to get rid of it. Put it off. The old corruption, the old deceitful lust. And look at verse 23, and be renewed. Be renewed. Notice now how we're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed through our mind. Believers are made new over and over again through their mind. And put on the new man, that is, be made new over and over again, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is, when God saved you and came to live on the inside of you, he made you righteous and holy and set you apart. And that needs to be demonstrated in your life, the Bible tells us here. And he gives us some practical ways that we put on the new. Verse 25, put away lying. Stop your lying and speak every man with his neighbor truth. For we are members of one another. Stop lying and start telling the truth. That's one of the transformations that God's trying to do in our life. As you learn and grow, then you learn that lying is not acceptable to God until you stop your lying and start telling the truth. As you grow, you learn, ladies and gentlemen, there's no place for sinful anger in your life. And so verse 26, be ye angry, but sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That is, as you're growing in the Lord, he's transforming, renewing you. You're finding out that you can't tolerate anger on the inside of you that leads to sin. You got to deal with it and get it dealt with so it doesn't destroy you. You got to deal with your anger. That is, as you're growing with the Lord, in the Lord and being renewed, you learn that you can't give any place to the devil. The devil's operating, and you got to learn how to put a stop to the open doors for the devil into your life. Those who've been stealing learn that God doesn't like you to steal, and so you stop stealing and you get a job and you go to work and you labor with your hands and you make money not only to take care of yourself, but so you can help somebody else. God transforms you from somebody who's mooching off of everybody else to somebody who takes care of themselves. I could keep going on. Maybe I will. Verse 29 says, by the way, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is, you might have had a bad mouth and all kinds of corruption coming out of your mouth. But when you're getting when you're being renewed, that is, when God's making you new, you find out that God didn't want you to talk like that anymore and say those things anymore. Hey, if it's not good for the use of edifying and to minister grace to the hearers, if it doesn't build up, then why don't you just stop saying it? By the way, when you're being renewed, you find out that you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God anymore. Verse 30, that is the one who sealed you until the day of redemption, who lives on the inside of you. That is, as you begin to learn and grow, you find out what grieves the Spirit of God so that you don't have to, so that you stay away from those things and stop grieving Him. And by the way, just now that we're on this chapter, those who are being renewed find out that bitterness and wrath, verse 31, and anger and clamor and evil speaking, all of that has to go. With all malice. And we learn that God's way is to be kind to one another and tenderhearted and forgiving one another, just like God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. What I'm trying to talk to you about is being renewed. There's some things in your life that God's wanting to change. And He will if you'll just grow. Lay your mind before Him. Say, God, teach me. Listen to, what are you laying your mind before? What are you giving your mind to? What are you giving your mind to? That is, are you giving your mind to the ungodly values of the world that we live in? Are you giving your mind to the filthy corruption that's everywhere in our society? Or are you willing to set your mind aside and surrender to Him? And say, God, I want to grow. I want to learn. I want my mind to be filled with Your truth so that my life can be transformed. The renewing of the mind. By the way, he writes about it, Paul, in the book of Colossians as well. Colossians chapter number 3. Listen to what he writes in verse 8. But now you also put off all these. These are the things you need to put off. Hey, this has got to go. Are you ready? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Kind of like we read in the book of Ephesians, isn't it? That's got to go. Hey, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with these deeds and have put on the new man. The new man, notice now, which is renewed in knowledge. That's right. It's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That is, God is renewing us since our conversion, making us new over and over again. And he does so by knowledge. That is, by growing in knowledge, our mind learning. Growing in knowledge so that, ladies and gentlemen, we begin to reflect the image of him that created us. Now remember, when God created humanity, he created us in his image so that we'll be a reflection of who God is and what God's plan is and what God's purposes is. But when sin came, that image was marred, is messed up by sin. But when God saved you, he came to live on the inside of you, and his purpose is to reflect him, and his purpose and his plan through you. And that's why he keeps making you new over and over again. Transforming your life. Renewed. And he does it right here with your mind. The way to be transformed is by making your mind new. And that happens by learning and growing and understanding. Growing in knowledge. And the Spirit of God is the one, is the source of that operation, of that renewal and transformation. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. In verse number 18. Back up to verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word changed there is the same word, ladies and gentlemen, that we're dealing with in the word transformed. We're transformed into the same image. That is, as you and I behold the glory of the Lord as in a glass or a mirror. The glass or the mirror, according to the book of James, is the Word of God. He writes in James 1 about a man beholding his face in a glass. And that glass is obviously, in that passage, the Word of God. The Word of God is like a mirror that allows us to see ourselves and to see God. And as you and I look into the glass or the mirror, the Bible says that we're changed into the same image, the image of Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what that verse means. And that is the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you. His purpose, according to Romans 8:29, is to conform you into the image of Christ. To make you like Jesus. That's his purpose in your life. The will of God is for you to become like Christ. That's what he's doing in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, that transformation of becoming more Christ-like, one of the keys is the renewing of the mind. It's what you believe. It's what you think. And the thought patterns of your mind. God is trying to grow you. He wants you to understand his word. He wants you, your mind, to be saturated with this book. The Spirit of God operates through the Word of God to transform your mind. Working through the Word. The Bible says we're sanctified by His truth. The Word of God is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, it's through the Word that God renews us, our mind, grows us in knowledge, and transforms our life. And so we bring our mind to the Lord and say, God, here it is. I want my mind to be transformed. I want it to be renewed. I want to believe right. I want to think right. I want my mind to be saturated not with the ungodliness of this world, but I want my mind to be transformed and saturated with the truth of your word. You know what God's trying to develop in you? The mind of Christ. He sure is. He's trying to make you like Jesus. He not only wants you to be like him in your actions, but also in your mind, in your mindset, in how you think. He wants you to be like him. Look at Philippians 2 and you'll see what I mean. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Yeah, that's what the Spirit of God is trying to do. He's trying to transform my mind so that it's like the mind of Christ. That it's not my mind. I want to have His mind. I want to think like Jesus thought. You say, well, how did Jesus thought? Well, the Bible says in verse number 6, who, that is Jesus, being in the form of God, thought a robbery not to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus in His very form is God. And yet the Bible says that He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what that phrase means is this, that even though He is God and equal to God, He didn't use His deity for His own selfish purposes. That word robbery means to seize something for yourself. It's what a robber does. And the Bible says that Christ didn't do that. And that is, He didn't use His position as the Son of God. He didn't use it for Himself. No. You know what who he was thinking about? He was thinking about us. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 6 that not only did he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, that's how he thought, but he said he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus did. The Bible tells us here that our Lord Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, that he lowered himself. That is, he took upon him. The eternal God became, first of all, a man. And secondly, he became a servant. And as he did, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Or in other words, he didn't add anything to him by doing that. When Jesus became a man, he added nothing to him. Instead, he lowered himself. The Bible says in verse number 8 that he humbled himself. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, he lowered himself, and became obedient all the way to death, even the death of the cross. Highlighted for us here is the humility or the lowliness of our Lord. Jesus, for you and I, lowered himself to become a man. He humbled himself even more than just becoming a man because he became a servant. He humbled himself even lower than that because he obeyed the will of the Father all the way to the cross. The awful agony of the cross. There's nobody who's gone lower than what Jesus did when he suffered for our sins on the cross. The one who is highest above all is the one who lowered himself lower than all. And that's the kind of mindset that God's trying to develop in you. He's trying to develop in you the mind of Christ, so that you and I act like what verses 3 and 4 say, where it says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Hey, the idea of strife is the idea of selfish ambition. It's describing those who selfishly are seeking after what benefits them. And vainglory is the idea, ladies and gentlemen, of being puffed up. But being puffed up with vanity. The word vanity means emptiness. It means nothingness. In other words, it's talking about all those who are puffed up, but there's nothing there. You know how it is? You know how, if you've had little kids, when you take the little bubbles, blow them in the air. Remember those little bubbles? Little kids, you blow those bubbles, and they're trying to grab those bubbles and catch them. And about the time they get a hand on them, they're fascinating little bubbles. They love them, bubbles. But as soon as they try to grab them, it's gone. There's nothing there. And there are many people, ladies and gentlemen, that are running around all puffed up like a big bubble. But on the inside is nothing but emptiness. They're not what they're puffed up to be. I'll say it again. Anybody who thinks they're something when they're really nothing have just deceived themselves like a little kid trying to get a hold of that bubble. That's vainglory. There are a lot of people running around all puffed up, full of selfish ambition. But the Bible says, don't let that be true of you. But instead, in lowliness of mind, each ought to esteem others better than themselves, in verse number 3. Instead of looking out for you, you ought to be valuing others. The Bible says in verse number 4, we ought to be looking not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Instead of being focused on our own selfish desires, instead focused on the needs of others. The Bible calls that lowliness of mind in verse number 3. The Lord is, hey, listen, God is trying to renew your mind. So instead of running around like the world all puffed up, thinking that you ought to win every game, get every prize, get everything you want, instead, that you focus on everybody else getting what they want and not you. He's trying to make you new. He's trying to make you somebody you've never been. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to make you like Jesus. He's trying to develop in you the mind of Christ. He sure is. And that renewal process continues all through our life. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:16. I'll be done in just a moment if you're wondering. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Listen to this. I love this verse. By the way, in verse number 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, made new day by day." That is the apostle saying, every day I live, God's continually making me new. On the outside, my body's dying. But on the inside, I'm getting newer and newer and newer. Oh yeah, I sure am. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to transform you from the inside out. He wants to make you like Jesus. And the means by which he does that is by the renewing of the mind. Would you let him do that? That is, would you lay your mind on the altar and say, you know what, God? I'm not going to saturate my mind with corruption. I'm not going to saturate my mind with ungodliness. I'm not going to fill my mind with worldly values. No, here's what I want to do, God. I want to give this mind to you. You say, how am I going to do that? I'm going to saturate it with this book, with the Word of God. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to study this book. I'm going to listen to this book and saturate my mind with this truth. I'm going to believe this truth. I'm going to stop believing the lies of the world and start believing the Word of God. That's what I'm going to do. The renewing of the mind. What's God's will for my life? You want to know the will of God? Surrender. Surrendering our body, surrendering our mind. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word and what you're saying to us and how you're operating in our lives. I pray, Father, for that transforming work in every person's life that's here today. That God will be able to get not only our bodies surrendered to you, but God will be able to get our minds surrendered to you. Teach us more about how to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.